I wonder what's the best bit of news that you have ever received. News is information about something that you didn't previously know. And the very best news is when you weren't expecting anything in particular, and then out of nowhere, something wonderful happens. Like when you win something or when somebody gives you an unexpected gift. I can only think personally of two things that I have ever won. I don't tend to buy national lottery tickets, so I've never won that. Unlike all the people who do buy national lottery tickets and have never won that. But I did win one thing once though. I won a competition in our local newspaper where what you had to do was match up scenes from James Bond movies with the titles of the movie. I entered that competition and won. I was very proud about that. I also won, and here is a very little known fact, I won a county-wide poetry writing competition. And yeah, thank you. And I wrote a poem about two little boys who were acting out the Cold War between America and the Soviet Union, as it was in those days, and they were acting out this battle with their tanks, and that was my poem. And in both cases, both the newspaper thing and my poem thing, I can remember being told that I had won, and I remember receiving the news. That was good news, and I was excited. Now, we've heard a lot about the shepherds this morning on the hillside. They're a familiar part of the Christmas story. They were looking after sheep on the hills that surrounded Bethlehem. In fact, that was their life. That was just kind of what they did. They lived out there, and it was actually quite a responsible job, looking after the sheep. As far as we can tell, they were just simply getting on with their lives. Nothing was going especially well. Nothing was going especially badly either. They weren't expecting anything unusual to happen, but in the middle of that normal night, they received good news. And initially, they thought it was bad news. And I guess that's just human nature, isn't it? If someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, I've got something to tell you," who thinks that it's going to be anything but bad news? That's kind of where our mind always goes immediately, isn't it? And then when the angel appeared in front of them and the sky was lit up all around them, they were understandably terrified and probably thought that the end had come. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people, for today a Saviour has been born." And I wonder if you are just getting on with life at the moment. I know some of you, I don't know all of you by any means. And it may be you're just getting on with life in much the same way as the shepherds were on that night. I'm sure there are always things about our lives that we would change if we could. But by and large, things are just ticking along as normal. Do you know what? There are times when God wants to break into our lives, like he did with the shepherds, and surprise us with good news. And who knows, this Christmas time, it might just be one of those times for you. There is good news for you this Christmas. A Saviour has been born. That Saviour was Jesus Christ. Another name he was given was Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God himself, born into this human race as a baby in Bethlehem. Now that would just be a nice story, but what makes it good news for you is that this Jesus was the Saviour of mankind. And he came to this earth so that he could die, and in doing so, save you from all the sin, all the wrongdoing in your life. And because of Jesus, you can know an eternal relationship with God as your Father. And you need to hear that. We all do. It's good news. So the shepherds were having a normal night, but that night turned into something amazing when they realized that God had come to be with them. And you might be having a normal kind of year, a normal kind of Christmas, but you can turn it into something amazing when you realize that Jesus came to set you free from your sin and transform your life in ways you didn't even realize was possible. But there is another type of news that we would also call good news, but it is different from what the shepherds received. You see, this is when things are actually going wrong. This is when the situation looks really bleak. When you're starting to lose hope and you're expecting the worst to happen. But then, at the very last moment, it turns out okay. And it actually comes good at the end. And you think, phew, that was close. That was good news that it came good in the end. You see, out of all the people in the Christmas story that I think this is most true of, first in my mind would be Joseph. Joseph was a nice guy. He was a carpenter and he was in love. And he was engaged to be married to a nice girl called Mary. But one day Mary asked to see him and she said to him, "I've got some news. I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby." And I don't suppose she did the whole bun in the oven routine, because this was terrible news for Joseph. Every hope that he had for the future came crashing down in that moment, as he realized that he would have to divorce Mary so that she could quickly marry this bloke who got her pregnant. Either that or just face public disgrace and humiliation. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt in that moment? So when the angel came and appeared to Joseph and spoke to him in a dream that this was good news, well, that really was good news. It was good news that brought hope in the bleakest of situations. The angel said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." The arrival of Jesus in a bleak situation brought hope to Joseph. And you know what? Jesus still brings hope in difficult situations today. It may be that this Christmas, that would be closer to how you would describe your life. Maybe things aren't good at all. Maybe there is trouble and things going on in your life. Far from things ticking over, there are significant challenges for you. Do you know Jesus brings hope into difficult situations? Whatever challenge you face, whether it is illness maybe, or aggravation, or something else, you can find hope in Jesus. And here is how. When Jesus was born into this world, God himself living among men, he showed people the truth that there is more to this life than what we just see in front of our eyes, in front of our noses. There is a God, and he is good, and he wants to know you and be your eternal father. And Jesus shows you the way to make that happen, like a torch lighting up your path on a dark night. This is how in John's Gospel in the Bible it describes the Christmas story. It says, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." And you know, Jesus would shine his light into your life as well. By believing in Jesus, you become a child of God. And then, whatever situation you're facing now, you know that you have a wonderful future in store for you. There is hope. And that is good news. That's the good news of Christmas. The truth is that for everyone who does not know Jesus, their situation is bleak. It is without hope. Every person is born into a sinful state, far from being a child of God. The Bible makes it clear that without Jesus in our lives, we are an enemy of God. And so every person needs to be rescued from their sin, and Jesus came to be your savior. To learn that you have been rescued from death is the ultimate form of good news. I was thinking about this and remembered a situation that happened recently to a friend of mine called John Pradan. In fact, I'll show you a picture of John. That's John in the white shirt. and his family, Esther, his wife, and his daughter, Aradhana. Grace Church here, let me just tell you, is part of a family of churches called Commission. And there are Commission churches all over the UK and in Spain and Portugal and in India. And we actually have one church in Nepal, in the city of Pokhara. And that church is led by my friend, John. John and his wife Esther, so they had that little girl called Aradhana. When Aradhana was 2 years old, John took her out for a walk in a park in Nepal. And Aradhana fell down a narrow crevice, like a fissure in the ground. It was about 60 feet deep from top to bottom. Very, very narrow. And she fell down this hole. And they could hear Aradhana crying at the bottom, but there was just no way they could reach her. And in the hours that followed, first of all, the police came, and then the army came, and then various specialist rescue teams were called out. None of them could reach Aradhana at the bottom of this crevice. And the media then picked up on this desperate situation, and news spread all over Nepal. It was on TV and everything like that. And then the media picked up on it all over the world. And everybody around the world was watching to see what would happen. John and the family were understandably desperate, just crying out to God. Now, at this time, I lived in Winchester, and I remember the news reaching me then, where we lived at the time. And the people in the church who knew John and the family, we gathered together and prayed that there would be a rescue. After about 15 hours of Aradhana being stuck down this crack, she stopped crying. In fact, she stopped answering any calls at all. It was just total silence. Dreadful silence. Everybody on the ground began to fear the worst. After 20 hours, all hope was beginning to fade. But there was a young lad called Kamal. That's him. He was a poor, skinny street urchin. And he was 10 years old. And he saw what was happening. And he went down to the scene of the accident. And he said to the rescue teams, "Let me go down there and see if I can help." And of course, nobody would let him at first. We don't need another child going after the first child. But you know what? He went anyway, down this crack. He just managed to squeeze down between the rocks. And he was able to find Aradhana at the bottom, who was in shock, but relatively unhurt, and encourage her out of the crevice where she was and tie a rope around her and guide her to safety. And so after a fall of 60 feet, followed by 22 hours stuck underground without any food or water, Aradhana was rescued alive and well. And that was good news. And I was on the other side of the world, and I can remember that sense of joy and relief at hearing the news that all was well. It turned out okay. Well, here's the thing. Just like that poor boy, Kamal, climbed down and rescued Aradhana, Jesus himself climbed down from heaven. He came into this world so that he could rescue you from your sin. So that was good news that the angel brought to Joseph. The angel said, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And Jesus is still in the business of saving people from their sins. There's one other way that the news of Jesus is good news. Jesus is good news to the poor. When Mary was expecting Jesus, she sang a song of praise, which is recorded in Luke's gospel. And it's a famous song now, which is often referred to by the first words in it when it's translated into Latin, actually, which is the Magnificat. You might have heard of the Magnificat. It's a song of praise that Mary sang. And some of the words in Mary's song are these words, talking about God. "He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. When Jesus was a man and began his public ministry, he confirmed that the heart of God is always inclined towards those who are poor or in need or disadvantaged in any way. He said this, quoting the Old Testament, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Jesus is good news to the poor. And as God's people, we've been rescued freely by God's grace. And now, we just love continuing to show that same grace to others through acts of love and compassion to people in our society who are in need. I want to show you a video now of some of the things that Grace Church, as a church that we are involved in. So I wanted to introduce you to two members of our church, to Wendy and to Dave, and they'll tell you a bit about the difference that Jesus has made in their life, and then how they are able to show that love to others. So let's watch this video together.
My name's Wendy. I live in Verdon, between Chichester and the sea. I am married to Guy. I've got three children, all over 18. My day job is in mental health, so I help support adults with mental health issues in the community of Chichester.
I'm Dave. I live in Chichester. I'm married to Lisa. We've got two grown-up children. Emmy's just started as a midwife and Jacob's a student. I work for the County Council. I've been working there for about 10 or 15 years now.
I didn't become a Christian until I was 28. Mm-hmm. And I really had, as far as I was concerned, I'd blown it on every level of my life. So, you know, as a teenager, I had this list of things that I would never do this, I would never do that. I would never do such and such. Yeah. And as I grew older and life got a bit out of hand, one by one I blew every moral code I had.
Yeah.
And by the time I was 28, I had nothing left. And I truly felt bankrupt, emotionally, morally bankrupt. And by then I had a baby in a basket, and I kept looking at her and thinking, if I don't do something, she is going to copy me. And that's a big problem.
Yeah.
So I kind of came into the kingdom of God knowing I'd blown it. I had no illusions about that at all. I didn't think I was a good person who was just going to tack God on. I knew that was not the case.
So I only came to Jesus about 10 or 11 years ago. I'd spent a long time believing there was a God, but when I looked at the world around me, I just thought, well, he hasn't done a great job, and why would I worship him? And then I'd been to Sunday school as a kid, and we took the kids along to church to learn about Jesus and stuff, and basically because I thought it would help them to grow up good. But it became quite clear to me as I sat in church every week that God had brought me there, and I was hearing stuff in the preach all the time that made me change my mind. So I just thought, well, I've got to put my trust in God now. Still lots of answers that I, lots of questions I don't know the answers to. But I'm just trusting God that he knows what's best for me. And I let him deal with my life, really, I guess. And that's made a big difference to me. I used to wake up in the night worrying about things that had happened before, worrying about things that people had said years before. and remembering those. And all that's gone now. I'm just at peace. I've got, just the great joy of knowing God. And that's something that I just felt I had to pass on. You can't keep it to yourself. It's not, I kind of say it's like winning the lottery and not giving it away, but in fact it's not, is it? Because that's it. It's something that's there for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the more you give it away, the more you get yourself back.
And so, you know, years later, I find myself in prison ministry. And I found quite extraordinary that I could relate so well to those guys. And I think a lot of it was because I did not dare judge anybody. And that has mattered to those guys. I didn't think I'd be, I don't know how well I'd relate to any of them, but actually when you boil it down to the nitty gritty of selfish, sinful life, yeah, we're all the same.
Absolutely.
And what gives me hope will give you hope, you know. So I found myself in situations that I never thought I would be in. Sitting with a guy, maybe, covered with tattoos, ex-gang member, violent crimes, sitting crying because his mum's in hospital and he can't visit her. And we just sat there and we got through a box of tissues together. But the rewards have been incredible. And now we're just delighted that we've got several guys from prison now who have settled in the church, mm-hmm, because we built that relationship with them and because we shared our lives with them and because we didn't judge them and because we told them, look, Jesus is real. He can forgive you. You know, your guilt can be taken away here. Nothing, no one else can give you that.
When church was starting to think about a Tuesday group, a group of people with additional needs, and I'd worked with people with disabilities a lot in my life, it was just very natural for me to do that. So we meet sort of monthly on a Tuesday, and it's a bit like church really, so we do worship, we do prayers, there'll be a bit of chat and tea and coffee. And it's just great to see people reacting, people coming up to pray for each other and for things, you know, much wider world problems and things. It's been a real revelation for me to see how much people are special.
It's really,
yeah,
really encouraging. It's really great to hear your bit of your story as well.
So, sorry that was a bit glitchy, but hopefully that was interesting and helpful. And what the message I want you to hear is that God's heart is always inclined towards the poor. Jesus showed that throughout his life, and our heart should always be inclined to the poor as well. Jesus is good news to all sorts of people, but he's good news to the poor. So, Jesus is good news if life is okay. He's good news if you are facing a challenge. He's good news if you are counted yourself amongst the poor. In fact, whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever you previously thought about Jesus, Jesus is good news for you. And that's why the angels could sing out, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. All people. There is no one excluded. All people includes me and it includes you. So this Christmas time, do hear the good news of Jesus that is for you. Get to know him more closely. Put your trust in him. I'm just going to pray and then we're going to sing a carol or two together. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for Christmas. I want to thank you for sending your son, Jesus, into this world. What an amazing gift that was. And thank you, Lord, that through his life and through his death and through his resurrection from the dead, I can know life myself. I can know eternal life in relationship with you as my Father. So I want to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful news that is the Christmas story. Thank you, Lord.